Good afternoon. You're listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people. I have a very special guest joining us today, Member of Parliament Ed Fast from Abbotsford South.
Thank you for joining us today. I got the great honor and privilege to be joined by Honorable Ed Fast, Member of Parliament for Abbotsford South. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
It's good to be on your show again, Sergey.
My first question is related to inflation. As you know, inflation is on the rise. The Bank of Canada has been raising interest rates. What other measures, if any, should the Canadian government be taking right now to bring inflation under control?
Well, Sergey, first of all, let me say that some of the factors that are driving inflation in Canada and around the world are, of course, out of the control of government, the federal government, that is. However, there's one thing in particular that is definitely within the control of the Trudeau government, and that is spending. And we know that over the last 6 years, the Trudeau government has doubled Canada's national debt. And most of that money went into either supporting Canadians through COVID or pumping it into our economy as stimulus. In other words, it wasn't necessarily invested in long-term investments that would improve the viability and sustainability of our economy, but instead went into short-term incentives and stimuli into our economy that dissipate very quickly but drive inflationary pressures. So the first thing I would say to the Trudeau government is, if you really want to do your part in bringing inflation under control, stop spending recklessly. In fact, the Trudeau government has spent more money, incurred more debt than all previous governments in Canadian history combined. So that gives you the context in which inflation is playing out and raging across Canada. It's made everything less affordable. And the sad thing is that wages are not keeping up with those inflationary pressures. Inflation now is at the 8% mark. In fact, the Bank of England is predicting that in the UK, inflation will go up to 13%. Now imagine that. The last time I saw inflation that high was back when I started practicing law in 1983, where inflation hit unprecedented levels. Interest rates went up to 18%. And 20%. This is something that working families in Canada cannot afford. And yet we've got a government that continues to recklessly spend and contribute to these inflationary pressures. So that's what I believe the federal government could do as a beginning, as a start to fighting inflation here at home in Canada.
And I know that inflation is, interest rates are in the control of the Bank of Canada, but do you see interest rates being increased even more in the future?
I believe that the Bank of Canada is going to be faced with longer term inflationary pressures. You may recall that originally our Bank of Canada governor, Tiff Macklem, said publicly and very confidently that the inflation that we were experiencing in Canada was transitory. And I reminded him of that at finance committee meetings, that in fact, we believed that inflation was going to be more than transitory. It would become a semi-permanent fixture of our economy for a number of years to come. And later on, he had to admit that they got it wrong. The inflation that they thought was going to be transitory ended up being much more persistent than they'd expected. In fact, he said they didn't get everything right. At least that was some humility on the part of the Bank of Canada, a humility, by the way, that we don't see from our federal government. I believe our prime minister should be admitting the fact that he is partly to blame for the inflationary pressures that we're now experiencing. He should make a firm commitment to controlling and restraining spending, government spending in Canada, to give us a fighting chance to get inflation under control.
As you know, there's a need for affordable housing here, right here in the Fraser Valley. What needs to be done to address this problem?
Well, there's many different fixes that have been proposed. None of them are easy. There is no quick fix, even though some feel there are quick fixes. Some have suggested that we increase the supply of housing, which is great in theory. But in practice, the supply of housing, mostly within the control of municipal governments and the provincial government, the federal government has very little control over housing supply. The federal government does have more control over housing demand. Mm-hmm. And it has been pointed out by some that today there are more and more Canadians that qualify to get into the housing market that would not have qualified 10 or 15 or even 20 and 30 years ago. And so that's on the demand side. We have a greater demand for housing than we've ever experienced before. We've had historically low interest rates. We have had the CMHC that has allowed Canadians to qualify for mortgages in a way that we hadn't seen before, to the point that the CMHC then had to step in and impose a stress test to make sure that if interest rates went up as they are now going up, that borrowers wouldn't be caught in a bind where they wouldn't be able to make their mortgage payments. So this is a big, big problem. Part of it is supply. And I think our local municipalities can help with that problem by making it easier to get building permits, by allowing the subdivision process, the rezoning process to happen more quickly. But I do believe that we also have to look at the demand side. You know, when you pump more and more and more cash into the economy, that means that Canadians have more disposable income to spend on housing, and the more disposable income they have to spend on housing means that the price of housing gets driven up because we have more competition for that limited supply of housing. So there are fixes on both the federal, the provincial, and also then the municipal side of the equation. And all of those levels of government are going to have to come to the table and work through this very, very serious challenge facing Canadian families.
Should the Canadian government eliminate the gas tax for a short period of time to give some relief to consumers?
Yes. My short answer is yes. We as conservatives have actually been calling on the government to at least temporarily suspend the gas tax and also to suspend GST to give Canadian families some breathing room. Right now, there are many Canadian families across Canada that have to make a choice between putting food on the table, putting gas in their vehicles, and perhaps sending their kids to school and buying clothing for them. This is an unconscionable decision to impose on Canadians. I really do feel for Canadian families that are being forced to make this very difficult choice. It's a choice no Canadian family should have to make. And I believe that temporarily suspending both the gas tax and the GST are a way of making life more affordable for Canadians until we can get through this inflationary cycle that we're presently stuck in.
And as you know, the Fraser Valley has been dealing with a lot of gun crime lately. What kind of policies, if any, should the federal government be proposing to bring that under control?
Well, the federal government has focused almost all of its efforts on getting rid of handguns that are owned by law-abiding Canadian citizens. And while I applaud in part their effort to address violent crime in Canada, they've actually gone out after the wrong people. They've gone after law-abiding Canadians when in fact they should be going after those that perpetrate violent crimes against our communities. And how do you do that? By getting tougher on the illegal smuggling of guns into Canada, the very guns that are being used in crimes. It's not law-abiding gun owners in Canada that are actually committing these violent crimes. It's those who commit these crimes with illegally smuggled guns, primarily assault weapons, real assault weapons, not just make-believe assault weapons, and of course, handguns. The other thing we should be doing, and the government is actually going the opposite direction, is to impose longer prison sentences, mandatory prison sentences, on those who commit gun-related crimes, gun-related violence, and also who smuggle guns into Canada. If we were able to expand the number of mandatory prison sentences we have for these kinds of offenses, we'd be able to get these very dangerous criminals behind bars for longer periods of time. And sadly, the present Liberal government is actually going the opposite direction. They're saying they want to get rid of mandatory prison sentences for gun-related crimes. We believe that's backwards thinking. We should be imposing these longer sentences on the most serious offenders in our communities.